You have your Bibles, turn to Luke chapter 12. Let's go to the Lord in prayer one more time. Heavenly Father, give me the ability to teach this now. Give me clarity. In Jesus' name, amen. Luke chapter 12. The title of this message is called The Eyes of the Lord. Luke chapter 12. In the meantime, verse 1. In the meantime, when there were gathered together an innumerable multitude of people, insomuch that they trode one upon another, he began to say unto his disciples, first of all, beware ye of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. For there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, neither hid that shall not be known. And I believe that that should scare a lot of people. That should put a lot of great deal of fear in the hearts of the lost. Amen. For there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, neither hid that shall not be known. Therefore, whatsoever ye have spoken in darkness shall be heard in the light. That which ye have spoken in the ear of closets shall be proclaimed upon the housetops. And I say unto you, my friends, be not afraid of them that kill the body, and after that have no more that they can do. Don't fear man. But I will forewarn you whom ye shall fear. Fear him after he hath killed, hath power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him. So all of the verses leading up to this, he is talking about nothing is uncovered. Everything that has been spoken in darkness will be revealed in the light. Everything that has been spoken in secret in the closet will be shouted from the housetops. He says, I will forewarn you whom ye shall fear. There are a lot of people today who have a lot of concern about what this person would think of me if they known. They think, well, what would my church think if they knew of this? You ought not to fear man. You ought to fear God, who already knows of your sins. I will forewarn you whom ye shall fear. Fear him which after he hath killed hath power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him. Are not 5 sparrows sold for 2 farthings? And not one of them is forgotten before God. He knows everything. But even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore, ye are more value than many sparrows. So he tells them, first and foremost, he knows the sin. But he also tells them that you are of value. He loves you. And he loved you enough to bleed and die on an old rugged cross. Amen? A God who knows everything about you, the God who knows your deepest, darkest secrets, also loved you enough to die for you on an old rugged cross. What a Savior. Amen? Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 15. The title of the message is called The Eyes of the Lord. Proverbs chapter 15. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 3. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. So the Lord sees all things. Amen? Amen. Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 1. There are a lot of people who say you shouldn't fear God. I say that's hogwash. Proverbs chapter 1. The very first chapter of the book of wisdom, Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." The Bible clearly says fools despise wisdom and instruction. But the Bible says also that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Those people who say that somebody should not fear God, according to the Word of God, it says that they are fools who despise wisdom and instruction. A healthy fear of God will keep you right with Him. A healthy fear of God will it puts things in perspective of who He is. Amen? The eyes of the Lord are everywhere. Amen? Turn with me to Genesis chapter 4. Genesis chapter 4 and verse 8. The eyes of the Lord are upon the murderers. Genesis chapter 4, verse 8. "And Cain talked with Abel, his brother. And it came to pass, when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and slew him. And the Lord said unto Cain, Where is Abel, thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? And he said, What hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth from the ground." So the Lord knew even Cain's secret. Cain probably thought that he had gotten away with murder, and he thought that he could probably hide Abel's body somewhere. But the Lord said that he heard Abel's brother crying from the ground. "And now thou art cursed from the earth, which hath opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand." The Lord knew even the first murderer, Cain. Abel's blood cried from the ground, and God knew about it. Do you understand that there are cold cases that are yet to be solved by man? There are murderers who think that they got away with it. They didn't get away with it in the eyes of God. There is a sign of a young lady right there not far from my road of a cold case. A cold case. They don't know who went in her house and shot her. But one day her murderer will stand before God, and God will bring it to light. Nothing shall be hid. And that person ought to turn himself in and repent and get right and get saved. Amen? But there are murderers who think that they have beaten forensic science. They think that they have beaten the best detectives. They think that they have escaped the greatest sheriff in town, but they forgot all about God Almighty. The eyes of the Lord are even on the murderer. Turn with me to Joshua chapter 7. The eyes of the Lord are even on the sins done in secret. Joshua chapter 7. Verse 1. "But the children of Israel committed a trespass in the accursed thing. For Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Sarah, of the tribe of Judah, took of the accursed thing, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel." Let's skip down to verse 16. So God knew about it the very moment it happened. And so Joshua's investigating this. In verse 16, "Joshua rose up early in the morning and brought Israel by their tribes, and the tribe of Judah was taken. And he brought the family of Judah, and he took the family of the Zarahites, and brought the family of the Zarahites man by man, and Zabdi was taken. And he brought his household man by man, and Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Israel, was taken. Understand this. This is not just extra noise added to a Bible verse. This is calling that individual out by his name. He is saying, this is Achan, the son of his father, and called him by name so that you can make no mistake, they knew who it was. God already caught him. And it says, and he brought his household man by man, and Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, was taken. That identified him to a T. And Joshua said unto Achan, my son, give, I pray thee, glory to the Lord God of Israel, and make confession unto him, and tell me now what thou hast done. Hide it not from me. And Achan answered Joshua and said, indeed, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and thus have I done. And when I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonish garment, and 200 shekels of silver, and a wedge of gold of the 50 shekels weight, then I coveted them and took them, and behold, they are hid in the earth in the midst of my tent, and the silver under it. He thought that he could bury it and get away with it. God, the eyes of the Lord are even on the sins done in secret. Achan thought that he had gotten away with it, but he was caught red-handed. And they took them out of the midst of the tent and brought them unto Joshua and to all the children of Israel and laid them out before the Lord. And Joshua and all Israel with him took Achan, the son of Zerah, and the silver and the garment and the wedge of gold and his sons and his daughters and the oxen and his asses and his sheep and his tent and all that he had, and they brought them unto the valley of Achor. And Joshua said, why hast thou troubled us? The Lord shall trouble thee this day. And all Israel stoned him with stones and burned them with fire after they had stoned them with stones. And they raised over him a great heap of stones unto this day. So the Lord turned from the fierceness of his anger, wherefore the name of that place was called the Valley of Achor unto this day. So Achan thought that he had gotten away with sin. He thought that if he hid it well enough, that he could escape the eyes of the Lord. But the eyes of the Lord are even on the sins done in secret. You can't hide nothing from God. And it said that everything will be brought to light one day. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12, verse 33. Either make the tree good and his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt. For the tree is known by its fruit. O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. So out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words shalt thou be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. Understand that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Pay attention to your words. Pay attention to the words you say, because that is a good litmus test of where you are at spiritually. Amen? Turn with me to Revelation chapter 20. Let's talk about the day of judgment. This is the judgment of the lost, the great white throne judgment. This is not to be mistaken with the judgment seat of Christ. The judgment seat of Christ is the judgment for the saved. The great white throne judgment is the judgment for the lost. Revelation chapter 20 is dealing with the judgment of the lost. Revelation chapter 20, verse 11. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. What books is that talking about? God has a record book. Every idle word shall be given an account. And the books were opened. God's taking records, ain't he? And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. I'm glad my name is written in that book, aren't you? Which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. And death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. The lost will be judged for their sins. The murderer will stand before God at the great white throne. Those people who think that they get away with everything, it will all be brought to light at the great white throne judgment. Those people who thought that they can cheat their way out of anything will not get away at the great white throne judgment. I was told of a story of a man who could cheat anybody. I was told a story just this week of a man that thought that he could cheat anybody. He cheated his parents out of money. He convinced them that he was in college and they would send him money for his tuition, and he wasn't even in college. And then he went and did something else and cheated a bunch of people out of a bunch of money, and he has gone his whole life cheating people one after another. But one day, if he doesn't get saved, he will stand at the great white throne judgment and it will all be brought to life. And a lot of people sit there and think, well, whenever all this is brought to light, I wonder what my mother would think. I wonder what my father would think. I wonder what the people I went to church with would think who believed that I was a Christian. Don't fear what man thinks. Fear him, which after he hath killed, hath power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him. The eyes of the Lord see everything. And that should strike fear in the souls of those who are lost. But I got good news. I got good news. This is not an all negative message. Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1. Turn back a few pages to Revelation chapter 1. Verse 5. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us, and washed us from our sins in his own blood. All of those things that could be brought to light can be washed away in the blood. The Christian will not be at the great white throne judgment. The blood of Christ cleanses us from all sin, past, present, future. There is no soul that's too far for the grace of God. The Lord can reach further down than we can reach up. And that record can be washed clean, white as snow. But understand, I mentioned earlier, there's a judgment for Christians too. And we're not condemned at that judgment, but we are rewarded or not rewarded at the judgment seat of Christ. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. This is the judgment seat of Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and then verse 1. Paul is writing to the church at Corinth. He's speaking to a carnal church. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. He's saying, you guys aren't growing. Understand that you need to grow. I have fed you with milk and not with meat. For hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able, for ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying, strife, and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? And while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? For who then is Paul, and who is Apollos? But ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man. He is saying there is nothing special about me. Paul is saying there is nothing special about me. There is nothing special about Apollos. Why are y'all judging and saying that I'm better than someone? Why are you judging and saying somebody else is better than me? We're all sinners saved by the grace of God. If you are under the blood, you are saved. Do not compare yourselves one to another. And basically, he's heading up to what man says about you really doesn't matter. What God thinks is what matters. I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one. And every man shall receive his own reward according to his labor. For we are laborers together with God. And ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's building, according to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder. I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon. For other foundation can no man lay that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Understand, he is comparing the church to a building. And he is saying, understand, Jesus Christ laid the foundation. The foundation of it all is the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection. That is the foundation. That is the gospel. If it wasn't for the Lord, none of us could be saved. Amen? The Lord laid the foundation, and then the apostles built their own and taught people and led people to the Lord. And then the people that they won to the Lord led people to the Lord. They're building on. They're building God's church. Amen? They're building God's church. And then it came from the apostles to the preachers all the way up until today. And we need to take heed on how we build God's church. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, understand, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, or stubble. That's talking about the quality of what you bring. There are people who will put everything into what God called them to do. They're bringing gold. And then there are people who will put a little less into it. They're not totally sold out. They haven't walked with God the whole way. They'll bring silver and precious stones. And then there are people who were saved by grace, but they really wasn't serious about their commitment to the Lord. They bring wood, hay, and stubble. But every man's work shall be made manifest. Made manifest. It'll all be shown. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man work abide with which he hath built thereon, he shall receive a reward. Think of it like a metal wheelbarrow. You have a metal wheelbarrow, and if you labored with all your heart, you're adding gold and precious stones. But if you are just not even trying in your walk with the Lord, you're bringing wood, hay, and stubble. And you have a wheelbarrow full of gold and silver and wood, hay, and stubble. And if you was to push that through a furnace, the wood, hay, and stubble would be burnt up. But what would be left is what the gold and the silver and the precious stones. That's talking about the quality of your commitment to the Lord as you labored with Him. Amen? If any man's work abide which he hath built thereon, he shall receive a reward. You'll get a crown to lay at the Lord's feet. And if any man's work shall be burned, the wood, hay, and the stubble, he shall suffer loss, not get a crown to lay at the Lord's feet, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. That's what the Word of God says. The judgment seat of Christ is not judging them for their sins, because the sins have been washed away in the blood. He's judging us of our service and what sort it was, what kind of motive was behind our Christian service. And understand that there are going to be a lot of Christians ashamed at the great white, or excuse me, at the judgment seat of Christ, because all they've brought was wood, hay, and stubble. They'll get to heaven with no crown to lay at the Lord's feet, because all they've had was wood, hay, and stubble their whole life. They'll have no crown to lay at the Lord's feet. But understand that all things will be made manifest at the judgment seat of Christ as well. We'll know who is faithful and who isn't. But it doesn't matter what we think. It doesn't matter what everybody else thinks. What does God think? Because God is the judge. The Lord Jesus Christ will be at the judgment seat of Christ, the Bema seat. Understand this, God sees everything, and God sees even the motive behind your service. Turn with me to Acts chapter 15. Acts chapter 15. We believe this is God's Word, right? The book that's laying in your lap is God's Word. Acts chapter 15, verse 36. I believe that Luke wrote Acts. He wrote the book of Acts. Verse 36. 15:36. And some day after, Paul said unto Barnabas, "Let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord, and see how they do." And Barnabas determined to take with them John, whose surname was Mark. But Paul thought not good to take him with them, who departed from them from Pamphylia, and went not with them to work. God's Word records John Mark abandoning them. Every Christian who will ever pick up God's Word and read it knows exactly what John Mark did. Think about that. Every Christian that's ever picked up God's Word and read this knows John Mark left Paul. How would you feel if every Christian in the world read a Bible and heard what you did? But you shouldn't be worried about what everybody in the world thinks. You need to understand that God sees everything. Amen? But Paul thought not good to take him with them, who departed from them from Pamphylia, and went not with them to the work. And the contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder one from another. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed to Cyprus, and Paul chose Silas and departed, being recommended by the brethren unto the grace of God. And he went through Syria and Cilicia, confirming the churches. Turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 4. John Mark's going to come up again, and a couple other names as well. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 9. Paul is writing to Timothy in 2 Timothy. Understand, this is God's Word. 2 Timothy 4, 9. "Do thy diligence to come shortly unto me, for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and this departed unto Thessalonica." Everybody knows that Demas forsook the labor. Everybody knows that Demas is not going to get a crown for that. He's saved, but he's not going to get a crown for that. Cretans to Galatia, Titus to Dalmatia. Everybody knows that Cretan went to Galatia and Titus went to Dalmatia and left Paul. "Only Luke is with me. Take Mark," John Mark that is, "and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry." So that is where John Mark will probably get a crown at the judgment seat of Christ. He didn't get a crown previous. He won't get a crown for his previous abandonment, but he'll get a crown now. Amen? And bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. And Tychicus I have sent to Ephesus, and a cloak that I have left at Troas with Carpus. When thou comest, bring with thee and the books, but especially the parchments. Verse 14, Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. So everybody who picks up a Bible, everybody who picks up God's word will know that Alexander the coppersmith did Paul much evil. He didn't help Paul very much. He was rebellious to Paul's ministry. Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works. He didn't word it like, don't reward him. He said, reward him for what little he has done. The Lord reward him according to his works, of whom be thou ware also, for he hath greatly withstood our words. Understand that every person who picks up a Bible knows what these men did and didn't do. And everybody who will be at the judgment seat of Christ, everybody, every Christian in this church will be at the judgment seat of Christ, and it'll all be revealed. There'll be nothing hid. And you sit there and think, well, I wonder what my church would think. Don't be afraid of what the church thinks. Think about what God thinks. Serve the Lord with fear in your heart. Serve the Lord with genuine love. Amen? Amen. Serve the Lord. But understand, there is a day whenever nothing will be hid. Nothing will be hid. There will be no more secrets. That should settle in the hearts of every one of us here. Whether you're saved or lost. If you're lost, you will be judged at the great white throne judgment with the rest of the lost. If you're saved, you'll be judged at the judgment seat of Christ after the rapture. But understand that there will be nothing hid. Nothing hid. But too many people get wound up over what people think. Stop worrying about what people think. There are people who are saved, but they're afraid of what people will think if they dive headfirst into serving the Lord. Forget about what other people think. Think about what God thinks. Serve Him with gladness in your hearts. If people talk bad about you, let them talk. Be faithful. Amen? There's a story I was told one time. There was a man who was a pastor of a church. I actually heard it from him. He was witnessing to a young man. And the young man said, I don't want to go to your church because I know what the people in your church are doing. And that broke his heart. And our conduct, the world sees and decides whether they want to be a part of our body or not. They look at our conduct and say, I want to be a Christian, or I don't want to be a Christian. We're the light of the world. And if we shine our light that God gives us and shine for Him, the world will want that light because they're in darkness and they're tired of it. But if we try to hide that light under a bushel, if we try to hide that, people will say, I don't want to be a part. Body. And that's a sad thing. We need to let our light shine so everyone can see. But we want to serve the Lord and be faithful to Him through it all. Because at the end of the day, He is what matters. At the end of the day, He sees it all. At the end of the day, He's our Lord, not man. He's our Lord. We should be faithful to Him. He's our Lord. What He says should matter to us, not what man thinks. The title of this message is called The Eyes of the Lord. He sees all things, but He also sees the brokenhearted. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 5. Christian, being a Christian is a battle sometimes. The devil likes to throw his fiery darts at you. He tries to defeat you spiritually, and he will do everything he can to keep you from serving the Lord. And he'll push every button he could push to discourage you. Yes, he can. He can push, if there's a button he could push to discourage you, he will. But that's whenever you come to the one who sees it all. That's whenever you go to the one who can only, the only one who can encourage you whenever you are at your lowest. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 5, verse 3. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they that do hunger and thirst for after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. The Lord knows whenever you're being persecuted. The Lord knows whenever the world is throwing their stones at you. The Lord knows whenever it's hard to be a Christian. Give it to Him. The Lord said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Understand that the Lord sees whatever you're going through. The Lord knows whenever you're discouraged. The Lord knows whenever you need His help. Are you honest with yourself and honest with God enough to give Him your burdens? Or are you dishonest enough to say, I'm okay, and hide your problems under the rug? Understand, the Lord sees and He wants to help you if you'll let Him. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank You, Lord, for loving us. Thank You for loving us in spite of our sin, which You do see. Thank You for dying for us so that we can be forgiven. Help us to walk away encouraged, willing to walk for You and live for You. Help us to serve You in the fear and admonition of the Lord. Help us to serve You with gladness. Help us to serve You with godly fear. Help us to love You more and more each day. Lord, if there's anyone here that does not know You, I pray that today they can come down this altar and get saved. Lord, I pray for that person. If there is one here, Lord, that needs encouragement, I pray that today they can lay their burden at Your feet. Heal the brokenhearted. Heal the sick. Strengthen the broken. Save the lost. In Jesus' name, amen. If you're in here today and you've never trusted Christ as your Lord and Savior, I invite you today, come get saved today. Jesus died on the cross, bled and died on an old rugged cross so you can be forgiven. He rose from the grave on the third day, and if you'll trust Him, repent of your sins and trust Him as your crucified, buried, and risen Savior, He'll save you and wash you in His blood, white as snow. Maybe you're in here today and you're discouraged. Maybe you're in here today and you realize you're saved, but you haven't been as faithful as you should be. Why don't you lay it at the altar today? Why don't you give it to the Lord? If you're broken, let Him fix you today. Why don't you come?